Welcome to another episode of the Capital Playbook. My name is Charles Williams. I am the owner and managing member of Pioneer Realty Capital. We are certainly happy to have you here. I think you're going to be very excited about what we have to present to you today. But before we get into introducing our guests and talking about our program today, I want to talk to you about a privilege that I've been granted here at Pioneer Realty Capital, and that is the privilege to serve as the chairman for a new nonprofit organization called Project PRC. Project PRC has a charitable mission that is targeted at ending homelessness and providing affordable housing, workforce housing, and student housing throughout the United States. Now, we appreciate that a lot of people feel that I just don't have a lot of money to donate to a nonprofit. But we worked out a program that I think fits everyone. You see, all you have to do is have $10 and 10 friends, and you can be a part of changing the face of America as it relates to homelessness and affordable housing. This is how the program works. Donate $10 and then have 10 of your friends donate $10 and then have 10 of their friends donate $10, and we will have an impact on affordable housing and in solving the homelessness crisis. So go to Project PRC today, projectprc.org/donate, and make your $10 donation today. Now, with that work being out of the way, let's introduce our guest, Mr. Adnan Merchant. Mr. Merchant is with, he's a principal at MW Law. Thank you for being with us, Adnan.
Thank you, Charles, and it's a real pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Well, we're certainly excited to have you on. I cannot resist but to brag on this this young man's firm a little bit, because he pulled me out of a crunch yesterday. We needed to close a transaction. I was working with a title company, and I will tell you from experience, not all title companies are cut from the same cloth. I called this young man at 11 o'clock. Half his staff were working at home. He had his staff come into the office, and he made sure my transaction got closed before the end of that day. So I want to use this opportunity to thank you for you and your staff for working so hard and diligently and making sure my transaction got closed.
Oh, thank you, Charles. It's a real pleasure. Honestly, it was fantastic for us to work with you, and we love doing it. So it was a real honor to be able to help yesterday.
Right.
Glad we got it done.
Well, we sure appreciate it. So, Adnan, let's talk. We'll talk a little bit about your company. But before we get into your company, because I know that it's multifaceted, you guys do three different things, but you do them very well. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about your professional background, how you got into the commercial real estate space.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, really quickly, super excited about Project PRC. Sounds like an awesome opportunity. But yeah, so I've always had a background in private securities, generally investment deals. Mm-hmm. So growing up, my family, we had a family office. We invested in real estate. We invested in venture capital, private equity, all of those things. So I got to learn a lot of that, you know, as growing up and just part of the family business, learning about investment opportunities, how to structure deals, how to do those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I always knew I was headed in that direction. But my other skill set that I had, even in high school, I was in debate. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to be good at it. I was president of the debate team. So I knew I was headed to law school.
Okay.
So eventually got to law school, and then coming out of law school, working with the family office for a while as general counsel, and then realized that we could really scale and expand on the type of business that we had done. So we started this firm, MW Law, in 2017. Mm-hmm. So it's been about 6 years now, and that's what we've been doing, is just really taking a lot of that background and applying it now to commercial real estate and seeing where it goes.
Okay, well, fantastic. So I know that for a lot of investors, of folks that are getting into real estate, you know, raising capital seems to be an insurmountable obstacle for a lot of people. And a lot of them don't know where to start, and they certainly don't understand the securities business and the ins and outs of putting a fund together. But your company specializes in helping those entrepreneurs and those real estate investors do that. What would you say is a starting point? Well, first, let me ask you this. If a client were to engage you with regards to structuring a fund so that they can raise capital for their real estate transactions, what are some of the first things they're going to need to be prepared in order for that fund to be successful?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? I think especially in the last couple of years, this space for real estate investment deals, whether that's syndicating deals, whether that's raising private funds, has really become something towards the forefront of the investment opportunity, right? So certainly, I think the first thing that people should know about this is that there are indeed a lot of restrictions, regulations that come into place when you're raising private capital from investors, right? Just because they're private raises doesn't mean that you're not going to be subject to a whole host of securities compliance measures. So the first thing that I recommend people really do is understand what those, understand the landscape, right? Get to know the lay of the land, understand what regulations are out there, understand how it's going to impact you, and then understand how that you can use those things to your advantage to help you facilitate a capital raise. And that's where somebody like myself and my firm comes in. One of the things that we really like to do is demystify so many of the things surrounding capital raising, securities compliance, all of those things, right? Our models are built to be very educational. We like to take people through it. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. Here's how we're doing it, right? And let's really take it through that, because you've got goals, you've got great ambitions, you've got great ideas, and you're going to be successful. But how can we help navigate you through that landscape to be able to do it in a way that's you know, in regulation, right? So that's really what it is, I think.
Okay, well, so the key is making sure you have the right legal counsel to kind of guide you through the process.
Yeah, amongst other things, certainly, right? I think you definitely need a good power team, and I think a I think legal counsel is a pretty central part of that, right? You need lawyers that do focus on securities compliance, like myself. You know, that's pretty much all I do, right? Our law firm really is a private equity real estate law firm. So one of the key pieces of that is private securities for real estate structuring, right? So certainly you'd want to be talking to somebody who's done plenty of it that understands the lay of the land.
Yeah, so you, your company, you guys have taken your expertise in raising, structuring funds, raising funds for your own projects, and then you've leveraged that into creating a platform whereby you can go and offer those services to other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely, right? We think that there's so many great people out there like yourself, like PRC, doing amazing deals, doing amazing projects, right? So how can we add value to folks such as yourselves, or even folks that are what we call first-time or emerging fund managers that are getting into this space, that want to raise capital and do investment deals in real estate, right? So certainly that is what we've done, right? So our law firm, it really is sort of focused on this area of law. And what that means is it means we only do three things, really, and three things we do fairly well, right? The first, of course, is we are also a title company, right? As you know, and as we've helped you with before. The second piece of our firm is transactional. So we do have attorneys in the office who will help with the actual transactional pieces, buying and selling real estate, negotiating lender financing, title and survey review and objections, and, you know, the whole gambit when you buy and sell real estate. But the third piece, which is integral to that and specific to what we're talking about, is private securities. How do you then go from, okay, great, I've identified a property, but now I need to raise capital for that property. It's not just the lender financing. I need to raise investment dollars. I need to bring a couple of partners together in a joint venture, or I need to raise capital as investment capital, right? And how do we structure the equity pieces of any kind of real estate deal and do so in a way that's in compliance with regulations, right? So yeah, we like to provide a full service, if you will, all inclusive for this area.
So when you're handling the compliance issues related to a capital raise, is that just the initial upfront where you're, when you're establishing that capital raise or that fund, or do you provide ongoing surveillance and support throughout the life of the fund? How does that typically
work? Absolutely. We will be there with you through the entire raise, right? And that's just the way we do it. We feel that if anybody's, because look, at the end of the day, even as we kind of hint at here, these things can be relatively complicated. They can be relatively dense areas, right? So I don't think that it would be appropriate as a law firm to just be like, here you go, here's a set of documents, good luck, right? I think it has to entail an additional level of counsel, right? That's what you want from your lawyers, not just, you know, here's some documents that will legally help you, but counsel all the way through. Here's what we're going to do for you to structure this fund. Here's what you're going to do when you operate this fund. And then we're with you for, to answer questions throughout the life of that offering, right? What is it that you need to do? What ongoing compliance, if any, is there right. that you should be thinking about, right?
Okay. So now I know we have a lot of folks that probably have questions and they're thinking that perhaps they've been involved in their first transaction or maybe they're preparing for that first transaction and they may are just starting this process of raising capital. What are some things that potential developer or sponsor, what are some things that they would need to do to best prepare them for a capital raise? Prior to coming to you guys, getting themselves prepared, what should they do at the beginning of this process?
That's a really good question, Charles. Mm-hmm. I think before you even need to speak to a securities attorney, you should know what the deal is.
Right.
And what that means and what we tell our clients is that they need to start from the end.
Mm-hmm.
Start from a projected exit.
Okay.
What are you looking to do with this deal? Is mm-hmm. it a long-term hold? Are you looking to sell it in maybe 5 to 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to just rent and operate? So what are your goals with the deal that you're looking at, with the property that you're evaluating?
Mm-hmm.
And then build backward from there, right? So if my goal is to exit a property for 3x what mm-hmm. I buy it for, and it's going to take us 5 years to do it. Okay, great. If that's the goal, let's dive into what we call your underwriting, which is your financial projections, your financial analysis. And let's really see, first of all, is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
What are the assumptions that are underlying your project plan?
Mm-hmm.
And then we work backwards. How do we achieve that now?
Mm-hmm.
So now, how much money do you need to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that are you going to get as leverage?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do you need to raise as investment capital, right? So really, I think what it starts with is just like any other business, you need a good business plan.
Yeah.
You need to have a good idea of what you're planning to do with this project. Then the lawyers are going to come in and help you structure that,
mm-hmm.
properly structure it. We'll also be like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a key piece of it is starting at the exit. What are we looking to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And then we decide how we're going to get there, if we can get there. Right?
Okay. Well, that certainly makes sense. Now, with regards to the way the markets are operating now in terms of one's ability to raise equity, when you establish a fund or an offering for a group that's relatively new, this first time they've ever done it, what's the appetite these days in the equity markets among private investors or even some institutional investors? Do you see a lot of activity with them wanting to invest in projects, or are they a little more skeptical given the current economic conditions?
Yeah, another really good question, right? And so to speak, proverbially, that's the million-dollar question,
mm-hmm.
if you will, right?
Right.
Look, it's definitely no secret that market conditions are definitely different than they were even, call it 6 months ago,
sure.
call it even a year ago,
mm-hmm.
right? There is certainly, from our perspective, right, so from what we see, because we just do so many of these deals
mm-hmm.
every day, we have seen a decrease in the number of deals. There's no denying that, right? Certain deals are not penciling.
Mm.
With rates given the way they are, with the Fed continuously raising interest rates at the benchmark level, that's trickling down.
Mm.
So deals are definitely, some of them are not penciling. On the other hand, however, one an interesting trend that we are seeing is, while we're seeing some of the deal by deal slow down, we are seeing a very large increase in the number of private funds that we have been structuring.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, we think, is that a lot of our clients are looking at the market and saying, hey, look, these things are cyclical, right? Which means, call it 6 months, call it 8 months, maybe 12 months, maybe longer. But at some point, the market's going to turn.
Right.
And what we want is, we want to have a private fund in which we've got committed capital so that we can immediately take advantage of market conditions and buy all of these assets on sale.
Right.
So many assets are about to come on sale because so much debt is coming due.
Right.
Right? So certainly, again, you know, where this is going to end up is obviously anybody's guess.
Right.
I don't at all claim to know how the market's going to shake out. But certainly from the trends that we're seeing, there is a lot of hope, right? There is a lot of optimism.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, market conditions aren't as advantageous as they were, but that doesn't mean that there aren't deals happening. It doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities there.
Mm.
It's just a matter of identifying those opportunities and preparing yourself to be in a position to take advantage of those when they appear.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I really appreciate the way you put that, because if deal flow slows down, that means those capital providers don't have as many places to put their capital.
Yeah.
And so therefore, there may be a higher demand to put capital work, because the deals just aren't penciling out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent point, right? Mm-hmm. Especially to your earlier point about whether or not higher net worth individuals or institutional investors are placing capital. Mm-hmm. Well, they're certainly a lot more skittish to do so, right? They are reserved. And anytime we have a market cycle like this that is a down cycle, that's just always the case.
Right.
But absolutely, it doesn't mean that the capital is gone anywhere. In fact, quite the opposite. Right. It literally hasn't gone anywhere.
More, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so at some point, if deals are good enough, those people will come back into the market. Yeah. And as they do cyclically, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so what do you see developers and sponsors doing to enhance a deal so that it becomes more advantageous to potential investors? And I'll give you, for instance, I know with what we are really focused on now with our development projects, if it's a market rate deal, we won't do a market rate deal unless we have buy-in from the city or a government agency in the form of a public-private partnership, mm-hmm. Where you know we have a project now, our Duncanville project, the city has committed to investing $30 million in that project, which reduces our risk, and it allows us to ensure the probability, high probability, of hitting our return targets for our investors. Are you seeing more deals that investors are looking for that have that type of enhancement, or what are some other things that sponsors are doing to enhance a deal so that they can get those investors excited about their project?
Yeah, and absolutely right. I think the idea, and just like you guys, mm-hmm. creative solutions are certainly on the rise mm-hmm. because you know a profitable deal today is not the same as a projected deal 2 years ago.
Right.
Right. I mean, people were talking about IRR. Projected returns through the roof, mm-hmm. and it was unbelievable 2 years ago, three mm-hmm. years ago, right? And I think so part of it is what it comes down to is economics, mm-hmm. right? Investors are investing because of economic concerns.
Right.
So that can be mitigated on two areas. Mm-hmm. So like what you guys are doing is reducing the risk that is in the pot,
right.
which also increases the availability for returns.
Right.
On the other hand of the spectrum, some other creative solutions are just offering higher returns, taking a hit as a general partner in this mm-hmm. moment. Not a huge hit, but at least something right. to ensure that on the other side, if you're not able to figure out the other side, mm-hmm. then you come at it from the profits perspective and try and sweeten the deal a little bit. Mm-hmm. That being said, though, I think it's very important for fund managers to recognize, or investors rather, mm-hmm. for investors to recognize that a good deal today mm-hmm. is a good deal today, even if it's not the same deal that you were getting 2 years ago.
Right.
It's just not the same.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that you should pass on a deal today because it's not offering the same returns from 2 years ago.
Right.
Right.
It's a new reality. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? It's a good deal in a totally different economic reality.
Exactly.
So I know that with regards to syndications, that was a big thing, you know, and I would imagine just based on my experience, some of those syndication groups are probably in trouble. They're probably upside down. And that's become a big trend. People get together, syndicate a deal, and everybody in their mind makes a lot of money and they go off. Well, now we're seeing the sad reality of a deal not working. What do you think the future of syndication groups are versus establishing a fund to kind of get deals done? What do you see happening in the future?
Yeah, I think it comes back to those underwritings and the assumptions within that underwriting, mm-hmm. right? I think what happened was, and you know, look, I've got several clients who are in this position, right? Mm-hmm. Where we told them 2 years ago, look, your underwriting is got some really aggressive assumptions. Are you sure the market could turn? And if it does, you're not okay. Mm-hmm. Another problem with that, which was part and parcel of that, was 2 years ago, it wasn't the best idea, but sometimes people did it was getting floating rates, right, mm. on their mortgages.
Yeah.
And now look where we are.
Oof.
And that's a big part of why there's a huge amount of debt coming due, which is going to default.
Right.
And that's the sad reality. But as I mentioned earlier, all that really means is opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And so to your point, to your question right now, I do think that these deal-by-deal syndications are definitely slowing down
mm.
because a lot of people that got into them, either it was their first time or they were just making wildly aggressive assumptions with their underwriting, and it's not going to pan out, right? But what that does mean again is I think funds are on the increase because people are looking at this as an opportunity to not do a deal by deal syndication. Because again, a syndication is a fund; it's just a single asset fund. An actual fund, the way we're talking about it, means like a portfolio fund. So let's get some capital commitments and let the market wash away, you know, what what was either aggressive, unfairly priced, incorrectly priced, and let's go buy those assets, and we know we can turn those things around because we've got operational history. We know how to manage assets. We know how to develop assets. We know how to run those things properly. We just need the money to go and buy those right now. So absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot to learn about putting a fund together, structuring a fund, and certainly if you want more information with regard to this, the information for MW Law is on the screen. Let's talk a little bit. Let's move on from the fund. And I know that's your area of expertise, but you guys also provide title insurance.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your title business and how that works, and just a very brief overview of that.
Absolutely, yeah. So we are a fee office for Alamo Title, which is under the Fidelity National brand. So Fidelity, Alamo, they're all our underwriters. So we have national escrow officers. We can close almost anywhere in the country, and we routinely do. Our title division is very robust, certainly. I'm very proud of them, as
I'm proud of them, too.
Absolutely.
they took very good care of me. I can honestly vouch for them.
Absolutely. So while I handle the private securities, my co-founder for the law firm, his name is Gavish Wazirli, he's head of title, and he put the entire title piece together for us. That's his background. He's amazing at it, really good at what he does. On the title side, on the commercial side, we do I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but dozens and dozens of those commercial closings. We do actually have a residential title division as well.
Okay.
I think we do somewhere around 300 closings a year on the residential side. Obviously, from my perspective, we focus on commercial, but we do have both. So the title department is very robust with us, and we can close again in almost all states and whatever you guys need on that side.
Okay, well, very good. Now, the last part of your business, and we talked briefly about this, is coming in and providing legal guidance, counsel, advice on transactions. Tell me, why is it so important to make sure you have good legal representation when transacting a deal, either from a debt equity perspective or from an acquisition disposition perspective?
Absolutely. And I'll answer that by giving you a few examples.
Okay.
Right? The first example is you really do want an experienced transactional lawyer helping you with your purchase and sale agreement, especially in market conditions like this.
Right.
As a buyer, you want to be very wary, or as a seller, I guess. Right. Either way, you want to be wary about termination options, right? Financing contingencies, due diligence, inspection periods, because so many things are changing every day in this market. And so, for example, as a buyer, if you haven't properly negotiated financing contingencies or inspection periods, you could find yourself in a position where all of a sudden the rug was pulled out under you and you lost your earnest money because you didn't properly negotiate the PSA to build and allow you to get your earnest money back on certain conditions or whatever it might be, right? And so many different little things that come with that that you want an attorney looking at and making sure, right? Same thing on the financing side, right? With lender financing, those things are changing every single day. And you really do need competent counsel taking you through those things. I'll give you an example of a deal we had last July, actually. I think sometime around just now, June or July. It was about an $86 million deal in Houston. It was a Class A multifamily. And this is right around the time the Fed really started their hike rates, right? So, you know, we were in negotiations, we were under the PSA, but we hadn't hit rate lock yet on the lender piece. Lender raises rates, the Fed raised rates, lender rates raised. And so just like that, we're now, I think we were 3 weeks from closing, lender proceeds decreased. So now there was a huge gap in the capital stack. We couldn't close. We had 3 weeks to go, and all of a sudden, all of this is happening. So immediately, we do several things. The first is our transactional counsels went to bat. We went back to the seller when we retraded. We were like, look, listen, sure, it's a large deal, and the earnest money is a lot. You can keep it. But in this market, no one else is lining up to buy these assets.
Right.
You got to work with us. What can you do? So we did well. We negotiated well. We got some reduction in purchase price to be able to close. The second thing that we did, and one of the things that my law firm really likes to do and specialize in, again, it's about counsel. You don't just need an attorney that's negotiating a document or giving you documents, right? We had to go find pref equity partners, other vendors, other partners in the industry who could step in and help get this deal across the finish line. Mm. So we start calling everybody that we know, all of our different contacts in various areas, which our clients get to enjoy as part of being with us, right? You got access to all of our contacts. So we line up pref equity partners, we line up other types of JV partners we can. And at the end of the day, sure, you know, it wasn't the best deal anybody wanted, but we got it closed, right? We got it closed, we saved the buyer, we made sure that we didn't lose earnest money, we bought ourselves time, and we got the transaction done, right? And those are the kinds of things that, look, sometimes you just need an attorney in the room who's going to drive that train.
Well, you know, as I listen to you, I think the industry has gotten away from the fact that attorneys are advisors and legal counsel. And you made a point briefly. You mentioned that a lot of attorneys are focused on negotiating a document. Okay. Well, we need attorneys that are negotiate a deal. Right. And so, and I really appreciate the fact that that's something that's the value when you think about your value proposition and how you add value to your customer. That's a significant value that you as an audience should really give attention to. I've done a lot of transactions, and I can tell you the best attorneys are the ones that feel like they are a partner with you in getting that deal done.
You don't want me killing a deal because I didn't like the way a sentence read. That's not what you want.
You know, charging me $450 an hour to change something that's immaterial.
Look, at the end of the day, we're also, you know, what a lot of people don't know is my partner and I, we're also investors in real estate. Which means I know exactly the shoes that you're in. I know the shoes my clients are in. If I wouldn't want to use me as my own lawyer, there's a problem. And so the idea is, of course, we're not here to kill deals. What can you live with? What can you not? It's about objective analysis and giving you proper counsel and advice to help you close a deal.
Yeah, fantastic. MW Law, my people, look them up. Their information's on the screen. Thank you, Mr. Adnan Merchant, for Esquire, for for coming in and being a part of our show today. And I want to remind our audience, first of all, I want to thank you because I know the type of audience we have. And I know that we have people that watch this show on a regular basis who are compassionate. They care about affordable housing. They care about homelessness. And they probably have $10. And because they have a heart, I guarantee they got 10 friends, too. So if you're that person, make sure you go to projectprc.org/donate. Donate your $10 and get 10 of your friends to donate their $10. But we certainly want to thank you for being a part of your show. And if you think the information we presented to you today was valuable, then do us a favor. Why don't you share this, like it, and subscribe? In doing so, we can bring phenomenal guests like Mr. Merchant on to educate us about structuring funds and title and transactional law to give you the information you need to be successful on your next real estate transaction. So thank you for being a part of our show, and we look forward to seeing you again here on the Capital Playbook. We'll be right back.